Heard. Who has not heard my pitch before? Anybody new? Oh, you haven't heard the pitch. Good, good, good. Okay. Here's the pitch. I'm Jill Marie, the center manager here. So I just come in the beginning of every new part, like of a new module. So, or the first one of Buddhism in a Nutshell, the first one of Meditation 101, just to say hello and just have another face. So you get Aaron tonight and then you meet teachers. And so I'm just here to say hello and just mention things like all the other modules. Are you going to talk about other classes? Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to cover
other classes.
Okay. So Meditation 101, who's taken that here? Just over half of you. Okay. So that's a 5-week course that's just lovely, and you have a whole array of teachers, and they cover how to meditate and the different ways of meditating and all the different styles, so you do it, and then you can talk about it some. So that's 5 weeks versus this 2-year thing. And then Buddhism in a Nutshell is literally Buddhism in a Nutshell. It's I haven't taken it in a long time, but it is jam-packed. If in 5 weeks to talk about Buddhism, they cover every topic. And there's a really yummy book out there with a CD in the back with Venerable Amy. Have you heard it? It's wonderful. So that's available in the bookstore. And then another thing I like to talk about is, it's for some of you who've heard this a lot, it's kind of tedious, but it's exciting too when you think about how everything we do, we don't charge for anything. And so it's kind of rare. If you go to the other centers, which some of our people have traveled to, they're just so shocked that they have to pay for DB modules and then maybe $10, $15 or something, I'm not really sure, or pay for the whole module if they want to attend. I mean, pay for the class, and if you want to pay for the module, it's like $300 or $400.
The whole course.
The whole course.
$400.
And so the way we've decided to do it back, we're 25 years strong this last year. So the way they decided in the very beginning, I think they started charging a little bit, and they went straight to donation only. So they just got rid of all charging. And it's pretty darn cool that we've been this successful with our harmony and the way that we do business and the way that we have a lot of strength. I talked with Geshe Sangpo yesterday, and we are a very, you know, if you've never traveled to any other centers, you just think we are what we are. You have no other perspective. And he said, we are just definitely an anomaly. Everything we do here is so strong. And so together we have so many people that show up for things. And so it's really quite exciting. And the way that we do it is by donation only. So, I mean, like some people are even signing on now to our new system and giving monthly just for DB. They also give monthly to the center, but then they give just for Discovering Buddhism because they're part of it. So there's a lot of ways to give, like text giving. There's little signs in the back, going to the website and clicking through links, dropping cash or checks in the boxes. So we just ask that we want to support you here and how to work with your mind. So if you support us, that would be great. And as my last time, my big famous joke of saying, have a good DNR, and I had no idea what DNR meant, so I think it's funny because I didn't know, but now it's not funny anymore because now I know. So you can do not resuscitate or learn about death and rebirth either way. But you have Erin tonight, your fearless leader. She's very kind to stand in for our other teachers who can't make it. They're all so busy. So take it away.
Thank you, God. Just took it away. Welcome back. My name's Erin Sloan, and typically I'm just here to go over some of the logistics and introduce your teacher. I'm an assistant for all the modules, but the teacher for this course is Robbie Watkins. Unfortunately, he cannot be here tonight. So he asked me to go over a few things with you. We don't know where our whiteboard is. We're still recovering a lot from Light of the Path. So if you don't know about Light of the Path, it was this 4-week retreat that we hosted in Black Mountain, and lots of people went, and all of our stuff went, and all of our stuff came back into different spots. And so, as an organization, we're still recovering a little bit from that. Yeah, I forgot where I was going with that. I also have a bit of a head cold, so I'm really going to just apologize a lot that I'm your stand-in for tonight. I do rejoice that we're here, that we made it on a Monday night, because, you know, Mondays can be tough, but we're here, we made it, and we probably had some kind of positive motivation for being here, because that's what this is all about. I love this place, because when I walk in, like, I'm on my best behavior and everything. I just try really hard, and it's just a really great feeling to be here. So I'm happy if you guys want to take just a second to think of your motivation to be here, a positive motivation to be here, because that positive motivation and our positive actions is what leads to future happiness. So we want to make that wish that we're doing this. So when Jill asked, a few people said it was their first time. Who is it like your first time ever at the Kadampa Center? A couple people. And first time to discovering Buddhism. Awesome. Well, I think it's a good time to come. We're actually like about halfway through. So the module, there's 13 modules that we do like in the classroom here. We do a new one about every other month. We just were like kind of off schedule because of this retreat. So usually we start on an odd month like September or November, and then we go for about 5 to 7 weeks, and then we take a week or two off, and then we start again the next odd month. So we just keep repeating like that. And so we finished 6 modules. We're on our 7th module, and we'll keep going all the way till 13, and then we'll start all over again. So you can really jump in at any time, any module. Some of them are a little bit more advanced, but honestly, if you're like me and a lot of us, you have to listen to this stuff more than once to figure it out. So we just kind of keep going until we really let all that stuff sink in. So Robbie had on the list, like, the bathrooms are right outside. Like, if you're brand new, you can walk out anytime you need to. And discovering Buddhism, a lot of times we don't start with prostrations and things like that. We're just kind of easing into stuff. So so I'm going to, because we've had this bit of a break and we're about halfway through, and I figure it's the fall and some people are kind of starting fresh, we will just kind of reset a little bit. And, you know, some of these things are going to be a little bit basic, but I think some of them I don't think about all the time, even though I've been coming here a really long time. So those of you who've been coming here a long time, do you ever look at this page about discovering Buddhism? All right. So it's like, it's so cool when you actually look at it. So Kanapa Center is part of FPMT, which is an organization for the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition. But it's not like Robbie Watkins made this stuff up. Kadampa Center didn't make this stuff up. The FPMT didn't make this stuff up. It starts with Buddha, you know, 2,500 years ago. And we have a statue of Buddha back there. He gained direct insight into the nature of reality, perfected the qualities of wisdom and compassion, and then revealed that path. Then in the 11th century, we have Lama Atisha. We have our Lama Atisha statue there. He brought these teachings to Tibet in the form of the Lam Rim. All these topics that we talk about are Lam Rim topics. This found its pinnacle in the teachings of the great Saint Lama Tsongkhapa, who is in front of the Buddha with his 2 disciples. So we have all these beings represented up here. And then Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who are behind Lama Tisha now, are the people that started the FPMT. They transmitted these teachings to their disciples, and they imparted a deeply experiential tradition of study and practice. So the really cool thing that I noticed at this Light of the Path retreat was all these people from the 1970s, Don Brown was one of them, Robbie Watkins, you know, they were in India studying in the 1970s, or they were at Kapan studying in the 1970s with Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche. And a lot of them came to the Light of the Path retreat, and so these are people that have been doing this for 40 years, you know, and what's kind of special is that these teachings were being given to Westerners, which wasn't necessarily very popular at the time. So this tradition, this FPMT, was established by Lama Yeshe, who died in the 1980s, and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who is here today and who guided us in Light of the Path retreat. And he's still guiding us. He's the spiritual director of FPMT. And so all of this is kind of held together for us so that we can have these teachings. This says it's presented within a context that reflects the FPMT wisdom culture. And so, I mean, this is a kind of cool thing to read too about Lama Geshe's style. So some of the readings, and the other thing too that makes the connection, so when we have homework for this class, reading from Lama Geshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, I mean, this is who they are. They started it. They started the FPMT, and they gave all these teachings, and we're still reading them. And so we're connected to them, and we're connected to this big family of the other centers that are all FPMT centers. Because they talk about Lama Geshe's style, non-traditional, but completely pure in source and content. And I love that, because these teachers, you know, did present things in a little bit of a not typical way for Westerners, and but still very pure in content. All right, so I think I kind of explained what discovering Buddhism, like the program, things like that, or maybe not. Maybe it just sounded like I was rambling. But does anybody have any questions, like anything about discovering Buddhism, what the course is, what do we have modules, that kind of like overview type stuff that you've always wanted to ask but were like, didn't know? Okay. On our website, on the Kanampa Center website, we have a list of, you know, all the different modules. And we've, like I said, we're like halfway through, and we'll finish up, and then we'll just go back and keep going through all these. On my list from Robbie of things to go over with you was Dana, D-A-N-A, which is the practice of cultivating generosity, which Jill talked about in terms of supporting the center, in terms of money, is one way to do that. I like that word, Donna, meaning practice of cultivating generosity, because for me, I would just love to wake up one day and be like, all I can think of is how much I can give away today, but I still kind of calculate and measure and think about it and, you know, like that. But I feel like as much as I practice, the more of a habit it becomes, and that's what ultimately, for me, will cultivate this true feeling of generosity. But there are other ways to give, and that is through service, through helping. And a lot of you, like when we were coming on a regular basis before, some people would come early, some people would stay late and help clean up. So I would just like to, you know, kind of reinvigorate that. And if you're one of the people who can typically stay after class and help wrap things up, if you want to stay tonight, and we'll just like meet as a little group and just kind of talk about the steps that we take to clean up at the end, that would be awesome. And then anyone who could kind of come regularly before, who can get here by 6:15, come next week at 6:15, and we'll talk about the steps to take to set up, just like, you know, getting the room set up and making sure someone's greeting people and things like that. They're simple things, but you'd be working with other people from this class who just want to kind of show up and just do a little something. Sometimes we run out of stuff to do, but it's really important just to kind of, you know, work with other students and to make a connection to the center and things like that. So I would highly encourage you to just kind of help out a little bit at the beginning or the end, because that's a great way to give as well. All right. So there is a handout in the back that looks like this. I added it sort of towards the end. If you didn't get this, I think there should be enough for everybody. As part of recovering from our move, we ran out of ink. So I copied the front side, and probably enough for everybody in here. And if not, you guys can share, because it's posted online. Share for tonight, and I'll also go over it.
This is online?
Yeah, I'll show you on the website. So, did we run out? Oh, good. No, we didn't run out. So on our Kadampa Center webpage under Spiritual Program, Beginner Programs Discovering Buddhism, we have a Discovering Buddhism materials page. So up at the top is the current class. This is Death and Rebirth. If you didn't know what class you're in, you're in Death and Rebirth. So that starts tonight and ends October 23rd with Robbie Watkins, who will fortunately be back next week. And the first link is about this module, so it'll take you to this page, this handout, which tells you the things that you need to know for this class. It tells you how to get to this page. So if you can remember that, you can find...
It has the back.
Thank you, Sue, because in running out of ink, we didn't get time to print the back. So I'll refresh some of those for next week in case you guys can't access that at home. But the front is more of the stuff that you need to get you going. And also, what's on here that I didn't have time to print at all is homework. So no printing of the homework. It's here, though. So it's basically read the first reading from the online reading, and you're to meditate 5 times for 10 minutes at a time. And then Robbie has this question for you. In Buddhism, we are taught to cultivate death awareness. Many people speak of Buddhism as a gloomy religion or philosophy. Do you agree or disagree? Are we gloomy? So you can access that homework online. The readings for this class are either online or they're in a book. So the online are right here, wherever it says Death and Rebirth. This one's 116 pages. This little packet of information is 116 pages, which is a bit longer than some of our other modules.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard a yeah on that one. Death's going to happen, so important to know about this one, right? So Robbie, I think, assigned that first reading for us. And then you can see Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe in there to give us some other teachings. These are almost always like from teachings, transcripts from teachings when it's Rinpoche or Lama Yeshe. And then there'll be a couple pages from Wish Fulfilling Golden Sun right here. And then the books. We do have our bookstore representative here who can help you out. This book from His Holiness the Dalai Lama is one of the books for this class. And then most of the classes, there's readings from this large book, which is a Lam Rim book. It's got all the teachings in here. This is actually, this came after Lama Tisha and after Lama Tsongkhapa. This commentary on the Lam Rim was later. But there's always quite often some readings from that book for the topic that we are going over in Discovering Buddhism. All right. Whew. Okay, lots of stuff to go over. I usually rush through this so quickly because I really want you guys to have time with the teacher, but I figured since the teacher's not here, we'll just kind of help, hopefully, like, this will be the only time we have to do this for a year. Just kind of dig in and, like, really see what all these, like, little requirements are and things like that. So one thing, I did a couple weeks of the Light of the Path retreat, and there were a lot of leaders from FPMT there. So Tom Trudy, who's in charge of all of the education for FPMT, and Venerable Joan, who's in charge of the beginner programs and the foundational programs, was also there. And now, Discovering Buddhism is technically a foundational program, which means it's not necessarily for beginners. A lot of us are beginners. We did this when we were beginners. But if you really do all the readings and all the practices, you're really going to know your stuff. In fact, if you do all the readings, all the practices, all the meditations, and all their integrated practices, and Module 14, which is 100,000 Vajrasattva and 100,000 frustrations, these big things, you'll be qualified to teach this class. So if that's, you know, that's a big aspiration, but it's also just an aspiration, I think, to finish it, to, you know, any one module that you finish, I think that's something to rejoice in, or all of the modules. But anyway, when we do this at Kadampa Center, we have readings, books, meditations, and to do all of that is actually a pretty good amount of work, wouldn't you say? Like, a couple people do it every time. They do all the readings, all the meditations, all the classes. And technically what we're giving at the end of that 5 to 7 weeks, we have like a little certificate that we give for doing all that work. It's really like a Kadampa Center level certificate. There's a little bit more for each of these modules to really get to the FPMT level. And so I'm going to start listing those, making that a little bit more clear. So those of you who are collecting your module certificates as you go and really wanting to do all this work and really want to get to that level of, like, not that you have to be a teacher, but like if I needed to teach this, I could, or I just want to be able to get to that level so that I can help other people. There's these integration practices, and they're almost always like a retreat type thing. And for this course, so anyway, I'm going to start listing those, and then the best way to get a sense of all of this information that you need for this course at this FPMT level, so you can come to Kadampa Center, show up, enjoy this class, you know, listen to what this teacher's saying. This teacher's going to react to your questions and whatever comes up, especially for us. You can also supplement that and finish this out. I think a good way to do that is by accessing the online, going to the FPMT Online Learning Center, which there's two boxes at the bottom of this page. One is how to get to the Kadampa Center website. The other is going to this FPMT Online Learning Center. And, you know, we're going to actually watch a video because that's what you do when you have a substitute. So we're going to watch that video tonight, but there's one for every module that's like an overview. And then there is information about the intensive practice day. So for the one on death and rebirth, like here's exactly what you need to do in each of these sessions and all the meditations that you need to do and things like that. There is six sessions, all of the information that you need to know on every single topic. Like, this is, some people don't have a Kadampa Center. Some people don't have an FPMT Center near them. So they're doing all of this online. They're doing all of this without being able to come to a room and ask questions and have a teacher like, you know, Robbie and Don and Steve. And so they will listen to all of these MP3s and listen to the teachings like that, take the exams, and you can do that to kind of supplement this class. You can go through these meditations and, you know, if you want to finish all of the coursework, you'll probably need to access this information here. And this also for the FPMT kind of standardizes what everybody knows. So again, here at the Kadampa Center, we're going to do everything we can in 6 weeks and the teacher is going to be reacting to you guys. But for FPMT to standardize it here, this is where you'd go to get that information. Yeah, it was interesting because, like, talking to the other centers, they had, you know, anywhere from, like, 0 to 2 people ever finish Discovering Buddhism. I mean, it's a lot of work to really get through every single module and every single practice, things like that. So we could be the first center. If we got 5 people to finish Discovering Buddhism, actually what I want to do personally is, I've been talking to Donna a bit about it, our spiritual program coordinator, is I think it'd be cool for us to be able to do some of these practices as a group. So a long time ago when we first started doing Discovering Buddhism, like after module was over, we'd say, okay, everybody come on Saturday, we'll do a whole bunch of death meditation, like no one would come. But it's not just for Discovering Buddhism students. I mean, these everything here is Lam Rim. You know, Karma has a requirement of doing a weekend Vajrasattva retreat. That's a purification retreat. That is for anyone in the center, whether you've been here like a year or 10 years or 20 years, like spending a weekend with Vajrasattva retreat is an amazing thing. So I'm hoping that as a center we'll be able to kind of offer some opportunities to do some of these things. This is what we're all studying on every level is these Lam Rim topics. So maybe you'll see some opportunities for weekend retreats that are on these topics. Okay. I sure you're tired of listening to me at this point. So, any questions? All right. So Robbie had on the schedule for us 2 10-minute meditations and this video, talking a little bit about meditation. Do a meditation, watch this video, do a meditation. We could do the video first, or we could do meditation first. Meditate. Okay. Whew. All right. So we've gone over this in this class before, but the body posture in meditation is important. Your body and mind are connected, so one's supporting the other. And there's a 7-point meditation posture, which we take to help, ultimately to help us develop our mind, but just so that we can have the best possible flow of energy and everything like that. The first point is the legs. So everyone who can do full lotus should do that now. And you could do half lotus. You can do any kind of cross-legged position. You can put your feet on the floor. If your feet are on the floor, you try to have them flat on the floor. You can sometimes put a cushion underneath your feet if you need to raise them up a little bit. So you're not cross-legged with your feet on the floor. They're kind of straight as possible and just kind of solid. The second point is with your hands and your arms. So your right hand goes on top of your left hand, the palms facing upward, and your thumbs touch at the top. So if you start falling asleep and your thumbs aren't pointing up anymore, you'll know you're getting a little sleepy. Your hands, your arms are a little bit away from your body to have some space so air can circulate. Your back is straight. It doesn't mean like tense up and tense all the muscles in your body and sit super straight. It just means like in a relaxed way, kind of bring your body into an upright position. Next, your eyes are not all the way closed. They are slightly open to let a little light in. A lot of these points have to do with keeping us awake. Your jaw is relaxed. Your tongue is at the roof of your mouth. And your head and neck, if your eyes were open, you'd be looking about 6 feet in front of you. And the meditation we're going to do is just a meditation on the breath. So there are 2 places you can watch your breath. You can watch your breath at the tip of your nose, or you can watch it, and by watch I mean observe, kind of when as your abdomen goes in and out. And really all you have to do during this meditation is just when your mind wanders, bring it back to the breath. You're just observing your breath and seeing how you can hold your concentration on that breath. If it helps for you to count your breath, then an inhale and an exhale is 1. And I believe Geshe Gyalpo told us one time, but I'm not positive, that a good way to count is to exhale and then inhale and count at the end of the inhale, because you kind of naturally relax at the end of an exhale. So if you count at the end of an exhale, you kind of lose track more easily. I found that to be helpful. So sometimes to start, you take three more exaggerated breaths and then start paying attention. So if you're brand new to this, 5 minutes is going to seem like a really long time, potentially. Might also seem like very natural. You might be very happy to have this time to not follow your thoughts. But that's the idea, is just to kind of let the thoughts float by. They're going to arise and you just let go of your grip of them. Don't have to follow them. You can give yourself a few minutes to develop your natural, peaceful state of mind. It's not blank. It's not spacing out. It's developing a concentration so that you can develop other qualities. So this is about developing concentration. will relax our mind, relax our concentration on our breath. Now we're all super concentrated. Well, the video is going to seem kind of blaring. any comments or thoughts about that? Okay, that's going to be our homework. It's just a breathing, simple breathing meditation. So the more you do it, the more you just kind of know when 10 minutes is up. I mean, those of you who have been meditating for a while, it gets... you know, easier and easier. I might be the only one who's ever thought this, but like, I remember when I first started trying to just like watch my breath, I'd almost have a panic attack because I'd start watching my breath so much that I'd be like, now I can't breathe, you know? So, you know, I'm sure whatever, experience you guys have with it, I know for a lot of us, you know, thoughts are always arising. Things are always stirring. It's really hard to slow down sometimes, but, the more you do it, the more you're able to kind of get to that calmer state so that you can do other things. All right. Let's watch the video on death and rebirth. If you're watching from home, Chris, can they see that screen at home? They might want to, if you're streaming this, and you haven't given up yet, you might want to go to the onlinelearning.fmt.org and, or I guess you can watch this on YouTube, can't you? I don't know how to do that.
Oh, is to remember your death, not to hide from.
Is there a way to put...
I can post that link.
This link, how are you going to get it? Yeah. I guess it's Discovering Buddhism Module 5, Death and Rebirth. If they if you're watching this from home, it's probably easier to watch it directly from YouTube than to watch it streaming up there. All right. If anybody's in the back, would you mind turning off the lights so that we can see it a little bit more easily here? Pretty good introduction. So I have a couple more things from Robbie's list. And then don't forget the homework is online. And yeah, I think that's it. So in thinking about our meditation that we will do, and, you know, hopefully have a practice of meditation, I was supposed to kind of go over the definition of meditation. but, you know, we've said it before in this class. Meditation in the Tibetan language is gom, G-O-M, which is why this is a gompa. And it means to become familiar with. So we want to become familiar with our positive states of mind in meditation. So we want healthy, positive ways of thinking, states of mind and behaving, so that those states of mind arise more naturally and spontaneously. Setting up a meditation space. At your home, you might have space for meditation that's separate. You might not. You might just have a little corner of a room. I try to pick the room that's the cleanest. You know, over time, since I've been doing this, life changes. You know, sometimes you move, you have kids, you have other people living with you, so things have changed around in my life. But I think it's always helpful to find a room that doesn't have too much stuff in it. That way, when you go in, it's easy to kind of clean or to make a little space so that you feel relaxed and peaceful in that space. What's something that's inspiring to you? You can set up offerings and things like that. You can set up just a picture of Buddha, whatever you have space for and whatever you can do. But, you know, have it be inspiring, have it be clean, have it be a nice atmosphere for you so that you can create that meditative space of mind. And they say it's good for it to be the same place if it can be. And that way, kind of when you go there and you sit, you're familiar, you have those states of mind that you're drawing on, you're always kind of going back to that kind of calm space that you've created there. To build up kind of like an energy for that space. There are two types of meditation, concentration and analytical. Concentration is what we're doing with the breath. The breath is our object of concentration. So you could do it with your breath. You could do it with an image of the Buddha. You can do it with a state of mind, such as loving kindness, becoming familiar, concentrating on a certain state of mind. The breath is always with you. So you're always breathing. You can be able to draw on that pretty easily. So being able to concentrate is not the end goal. The ability to concentrate kind of gives us the means to go further, to develop our minds even further. Analytical meditation is the mind's ability to analyze or think about or explore an object of meditation. So you might be meditating on compassion, understanding the sufferings and problems of others and thinking about that and being able to generate the wish for them to not suffer and kind of going through different practices like that. Another function of analytical meditation is to clear away delusions or mistaken states of mind. So you might want to use it to deal with anger, to look at how anger is harmful, how you can change your mind, how you can think differently about that, things like that. And the real purpose of analytical meditation is to develop wisdom. So you have the Lam Rim topics. You need to listen to them, study them, think about them. So you go through all those pieces for these particular topics in the Lam Rim. And all this is done for the purpose of transforming our minds. We did go over the posture. Motivation and dedication. So both of these are really important, always emphasized in Tibetan Buddhism, especially. So everything we do brings about a consequence. So the biggest determination of what that consequence is going to be is your motivation. So if you have a positive motivation, more likely to bring happiness. Negative motivation is going to cause problems. So you want to develop a positive motivation for, especially when it comes to spiritual practice. And the best is to think of others, to say how I'm doing this practice, I'm developing this mind because I want to be more helpful and beneficial for other beings. If you're not connecting to that, if you're not feeling that, then at least have the motivation of wanting to benefit yourself, to say I want to be a better person so that I can be more happy, be more peaceful, be more kind, and ultimately, you know, you'll use that to develop your compassion and wish to benefit others. At the end, so the motivation comes before the beginning of your meditation, obviously, and at the end is your dedication. And so at the end, you're dedicating to benefit others. You bring back into mind, okay, so I did this practice with the wish that, you know, I could benefit other beings, and anytime I have actions with a positive motivation and it leads to happiness, I can make the wish to share that happiness with others. I can dedicate this to others. I can think of benefiting everyone in this room and then it moving out to everyone in this city and everyone that they talk to all over the world, and you can just imagine the benefit going out to the whole world, to all the beings, not just the humans, all of them. I thought I had something else about dedication, but I have a prayer. I'll say, Shanti will say at the end of, we'll do our other second 10-minute meditation like Robbie suggested, and at the end we'll do Shanti Deva's prayer, which is on page 246 in the prayer book, because I think those are, if you can't think of enough good wishes, there's so many beautiful ones in here. So we'll do that at the end of our meditation. And next week, Robbie will go over continuity of consciousness and rebirth. So we have time for one more 10-minute meditation. All right. So remind yourself of the posture. And set your motivation, your positive wish of how you will use this practice. If you're really just concentrating on the air going in and out of the tip of your nose, you'll notice it's a little bit warmer when you exhale, a little bit cooler when you inhale. If you try to concentrate just on that point, even for 10 breaths, see if you can get to 10 without losing count at the end of a long day on a Monday. That's excellent. that's not working, give yourself permission to try something else. Try following your breath, but still concentrating on the breath, following it into your abdomen and back out. Focus on your abdomen rising and falling. Lots of thoughts are popping into your head. Try noticing the thought for a moment. What kind of thought is it? Are you making a list? Are you planning for your future? Do you want to know what's going on next? You just don't feel like sitting anymore. Is it physical pain? Try to separate that thought from your practice of concentration. Just release the hold on that thought. It doesn't have to stay. You can let it go. Always, always thinking daily, mundane thoughts. But we're here because we want to try to change our mind, try to train our mind to do something a little bit different. So we're trying to let go of those thoughts. And just focus without pressure, without spacing out. It's more of a relaxed focus. relax our concentration. So however accomplished we were in that or not, we need to celebrate the fact that we worked on that for a moment. And we can turn in the gold books to page 246. You can do your own dedication, but this one's, it's a favorite of His Holiness, it says right here, so it's got to be good. It's, we'll say this together, a wish for a dedication for all our hard work. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Thank you very much. Robbie's back next week. Yay. So bring all your hard Dharma questions.